You are listening to Fly Like an Angel. Fly Like an Angel is supported by arrangemymortgage.com. Here's to a successful 22-23 season as Tunbridge Angels fans. If you do enjoy the podcast, please do talk about it at the ground, share it online, let your friends and family know about it. Also, cheeky plug from me, my name's Bobby, I host the podcast. The podcast is sponsored by arrangemymortgage.com, where I am a mortgage advisor. So please, any mortgage needs, feel free to contact me and mention Fly Like an Angel or Tunbridge Angels. Come on, you angels! We are here for the special edition of Fly Like an Angel, the 500th special edition. No, 500 miles, Sonny Miles. I'm here with Trevor and Lee and Sonny because earlier on in this season, believe it or not, Sonny Miles played his 500th game for Tunbridge Angels, which is an amazing feat. Before we crack on to that, Trevor, Lee, how are we both?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. It is a special pleasure to be here tonight. I mean, the defence has turned up, so what more could we want?
We are recording this after two
24
results.
24 hours week. Too late, but they're here now.
Yeah, well, so we're recording this. Obviously, we had at the weekend a brilliant draw against Ebbsfleet, and then last night the not so brilliant result away to Ramsgate, which I'm sure we'll touch on both of those. Lee, how are we? How are you? You all right? Your eye looks better.
Thank you. Yeah. It is. No, it's not. It's on the mend. It's an honour to be here.
It is, isn't it? So I've got no like silly introduction like the last time I had you on, Sonny. No setup, anything like that. Just a genuine thank you for at last making it on. So how are you doing? Are you okay?
Yeah, very well. Very well. Sorry it's taken a while. Chucking in football with two kids. I like to put on record that I'm not under the thumb. It's just trying to squeeze in around bedtime and stuff. So I do apologise. But that's yeah, right. Thanks for having me.
That's right. Anyone that's under the thumbs insists that they're not. So it's all good. It's all good. Well, obviously, earlier on in this season, sorry. So let's talk about yourself first. We will still do a bit of a normal podcast towards the end. But obviously, earlier on this season, that massive milestone, you played your 500th game for Tunbridge Angels. So firstly, did you think you'd be here? Did you think you'd reach it?
I don't think, honestly, you don't really think about it. It wasn't until sort of four or five games to go that... You know, I know it's obviously a great milestone. I'm obviously very proud of, but it's one of those when you're a player, you sort of it's quite a big build up. Like so, and you know, Jay told me that it was obviously coming up, and it'd be a home game, which was lovely. But it's not until you actually you don't really think about it. It's odd, but it's a great. It when you look back, it's probably not until a couple of games after it you actually look back and it is a good achievement, and the club have been very good to me, so I'm very thankful. Yeah.
And when you left to go and play in Amber and Black, did you think that would happen one day?
I timed that. That was like 3.5 minutes. That took you to do that.
I didn't say. I just said colours. I didn't say.
We should have had a sweep on that, shouldn't we?
I think. Listen, I think wherever I went, Maidstone, wherever I went, you know, Tunbridge would have always been my first port of call to come back. You know, it was there's various reasons why I left in the first place, but which I think we've touched on lots of times before. Yeah, but as soon as it sort of didn't work out, Maidstone, or they looked to go in a slightly different, you know, whatever was going on there didn't quite work out for me and funny enough Jay at the time. So it you know, I was the first one, I think, you know, even when you've done an interview with Macca or he was on one of his podcasts, I think it was the same thing. I rung him and said, can I come back? Yeah. So it was, you know, it was always the plan. I wouldn't have said it was the plan to end up at Maidstone, but that sort of rolled out like that. So But yeah, you know, that was in the past, Bob. So I don't know why you keep bringing it up. You know?
<That's> fine, the reason why I thought there's a link here, and Lee, Trevor, I'll get you to join in a second, but it must be pleasing for you. And have you had any banter with Jay? Because obviously, when you left Maidstone, obviously Maidstone were going up to his level, and you've since established yourself, I think, as a solid Conference South defender. And now it's gone full circle because you're back playing for Jay Saunders in the National League South. So how does that feel?
Yeah, there was never a falling out, I don't think, between me and Jay. It was like an honest conversation where, I think at the time, you know, he said he's going to bring a couple more centre halves in, and at the time, I just moved the house, you know, and a new fat, like my family was starting out, kids and stuff like that, and it was one of them when I didn't really want to be travelling. I think you had the Truros and people like that then, I thought I was better than going to sit on a bench for Maidstone, if I'm being honest, or however that works out. So I wasn't prepared to do that and leave my family behind. So it was sort of like a, you know, I wouldn't say it was a mutual agreement, because in the end, Jay said, look, I'm going to let you go. So it was one of those. But, you know, football is a way of sort of working itself out. And, you know, I always feel like, you know, especially as I've got older, if you stay on the right terms with people, the non-league circuit's quite a tight-knit, you know, sort of circuit. Managers come and go. And obviously I've been very lucky at Tunbridge where I've only played under three. But the, you know, it's everyone knows each other. So there was never any bridges burned. And obviously, you know, when Jay was good enough when he got the job in the summer to ring me straight away and say, look, I know that what happened at Mason, but I want you to stay. So that was quite nice to hear, and probably, you know, shows Jay's sort of management skills in that aspect, because it could have been easy for him just to let it drag out a little bit and see what happened. And I could have moved on, and then it wouldn't have been. But it was quite quick. You know, met Jay almost straight away, and it was, you know, you're going to stay on being my captain. I want you to stay. You're going to play, and that's where we're going to be. So, but you know, we played in a team whilst we were relatively defensive last year. I feel like we had to be at times because we wasn't scoring enough goals. So with all due respect, and it's not to blow my own trumpet or the other boys that were playing, but we played in a team that finished fourth bottom or fifth bottom, whatever it was, and ended up with a fourth best defensive record in the league. So there wasn't too much wrong. So, and, you know, we flipped that round this year. So, you know, I think we're eighth, and we're one of the worst. So,
you know. that's brilliant. So, I'm going to touch on a few things, do people you play with, goalkeepers as well, because you haven't actually played that many goalkeepers. You've been lucky there, I guess, in a sense. But, Trevor, I'm going to come to you first. Can you remember your earliest memory of Sonny Miles?
Oh, my Lord.
There you go. I haven't primed anyone here. This is completely out of the blue.
No, I'm not being primed. I haven't done any notes either. Crikey. Well, I suppose in terms of... the answer is no, I can't remember the first time I watched Sonny play. Sorry. It obviously wasn't that impressive. But I think it was when you and Judgy came together as a real solid unit at the back, and that was the first time you kind of take notice, if you like. So I mean, oh, actually, you know what? We've actually got something here, and that probably bins 100 games or something to start with. But yeah, whatever experience and whatever went before, I think that was the point when I realised, and it's not smoke blowing time, but I realised we got a really good defender. And you're still, I think, the only player that's come through the whole Tunbridge setup in all those years, which is bizarre, actually, when you look at what might have been. But I just think it's something
in the sense of that's made so many appearances, do you mean?
Yeah, that's right.
What about John Heath? John Heath was much better than Sonny.
Just the injuries.
Yeah, but he was injury prone.
Oh, he was,
Sonny has this remarkable... the way of not getting injured. I mean, blimey, when you think, which I suppose is partly...
He had a gammy shoulder for ages. Yeah. Ages.
Yeah.
Didn't you have an injury when the year we got promoted under Tommy Warrilow when you was a youngster?
I played the last, a bit like Joe Turner's had this year, I played the last probably month on a lot more medication than what I should have done with a hernia.
Yeah, that's right.
It was quite surprising, really, because actually it's one of those operations that you actually have, and then the more you keep moving, the actual quicker it heals. So I think I ended up coming back, and I come off the bench. Was it off the bench? I might have started against Maidenhead, the 4-0, our first game, and I thought, well, this league's pretty easy. But apart from that, Lee is right. Yeah, the gammy shoulder, which I played with for a couple of months, and I think the Dulwich away game when it ended up down sort of in my pectoral area, I thought this is probably enough. I probably need to get this operated on now. But yeah, I was out for a couple of, because I missed the it ended up, was it Thurrock? East Thurrock? We ended up playing the playoffs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We lost 2-1 or 3-2 or 3-1. But when you looked over on us on the sidelines, I think you ended up, there was me, Tom Fitt, Tommy Whitnell, there was a couple of, Nathan Elder. I think there was actually quite a few. You actually looked at what was on the side, not no disrespect to the boys that were playing, but you probably had five or six starters on the sidelines, which was obviously disappointing that year, but yeah.
But coming back, did you find that playing with Judgy for that length of time was good for you? Because it seemed to be, watching from the sidelines.
I owe it's a bit of a, bit cheesy, but I owe Ben Judge an awful lot. It was also the way he conducted himself. When I look back now, it's slightly embarrassing, but I know I get onto the ref still and stuff, but he had this calmness about him. And then when you actually looked at how he played, he couldn't move. He was slower than me, slower than me now. But he was always in the right place at the right time, and he was a proper defender. He was, I know things in football's moved on slightly now, and it's all about how many part times you can pass the ball around the back, and all these zones and presses and all this sort of stuff. It wasn't like that then. It was about keeping clean sheets, And he used to say things during a game, but when he said something, it's one of those players you take notice of. So. I had a very successful time with him, and I really enjoyed playing alongside him. We had a lot of that season, a lot of clean sheets, And I think when we went up and he stayed for a bit and ended up leaving, I think maybe, by his own admission, maybe his legs gave up on him slightly and the level was quite quick and far for him. But he was a brilliant defender. And he's, again, one of those players that, you talk about, you talk to your John Maynes, you talk about to people that have played it with him, the Kevwells and people like that will always say a good word about him. Yeah. And it just shows what a nice bloke he is. And people like that, they should be cherished in, non-league football. He was a great person and a very, very good defender. Very good.
So this is where, had I been a professional, I would really smoothly chuck in now an interview that I did with Ben Judge where he talks about you. However, I can't find it because I did it about 3 months ago. So I'll send it to you separately, Sonny. I'll smoothly edit it in.
And that wasn't even rehearsed either.
Oh my God.
That would have been brilliant. That would have been so good if I'd just get it. And here he is now. So maybe if we carry on talking and drop some other names, there might be a smoother link.
Tommy Warrilow, you could drop him in as the person who... But did he gave you your debut, right, Tommy Warrilow?
Yeah, he did, Lee. Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah, he did. I think I played a game away at Ashley Mills, but the one that I remember the most was the game away at Sutton, because I played... I turned up there. When you're a youngster, you sort of get... used to, when you are young, and I think it probably some of the young boys that come with us now at the moment, they might be used to, they're coming, they're getting some experience, but probably are they going to play? Probably not. And I was probably in that same boat then. And I remember we turned up, and I remember looking at the old Sutton change rooms, and I'm thinking, I'm watching all the boys going into the physio room, coming out, going, no, 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 he's not fit. And I'm thinking, I might actually play here. And I did, and I played, I've said the story before, but I ended up playing, I actually played centre midfield with your man, your mate, Bobby, my friend still, Scott Kinch.
Yeah.
And I think I played with him there with Lee Minchell. I can't really remember, but I remember thinking, bloody hell, this is hard. And it was you know, excuse the pun, but kick bollock and bite. And it was, yeah, it was a bit of an eye opener.
When you think about it, though, that some midfield, a young Sonny Miles, Kinch, and Lee Minchell, I don't think there's many players that would want to.
That's a very slow midfield, that is. And there was
were you meant to be a midfielder?
I played when I was when I come up through like the 16s, and played. There was like two sets of 18s. One of the 18s was a Wednesday night under the lights, which was brilliant. When we had some really good team. The other one was on like I want to say it was on a Sunday, or it might have been the 16. I can't quite remember, but it was I used to play like sort of like a holding midfield role where you didn't really have to move much, and the easiest ball was to hit a little diag over the top for a really fast forward to run onto and score, and the other team weren't very good. So, it was, I did play midfield, but I think I sort of always knew I was going to be a centre-half. And obviously, Tommy was a centre-half, and when we used to do patterns and stuff like that, I would always play centre-half. I'd very rare. There were some very good players there then, so I was never going to play centre midfield. It was only because we didn't have many. And obviously, I think... Tommy saw something in me that he liked, and it sort of like I ended up going from a kid that was never going to play to, you know, even when the boys coming back, starting, you know, I was playing most weeks, which was, you know, again, I'm very grateful for, and someone, you know, put some belief in me, and, you know, still speak to Tom now. So, yeah, it's great.
I seem to remember, so my answering my own question earlier, one of my earliest memories of you, it was either a Kent Cup game or a League Cup game where you played holding mid for the first team. And the reason why I remember it is, and you've already name dropped him, so this isn't me, was because I remember as a kid thinking, because you had a bit about you, you might have even got a yellow card, you might have done a bit of pushing and shoving probably. I remember thinking, oh, is this like a, because Scott Kinch was going towards, I think it was only second spell with us towards the end of his like time with us, even though he actually went on probably to have some of his best games further on than that. But for you, I remember thinking, oh, is this like going to be the new Scott Kinch sort of thing? We've got a bit about him. He's getting himself about there. But then obviously went into that. Like, and you've gone on to be much better than Kinchy. Don't ever tell Kinchy I said that.
Kinchy can score a goal.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah. You never did get that amount of goals at Martin to get your tattoo.
I think I saved everyone's face by doing it. I thought, no, I'm not too sure. I don't know about how I felt about having my face on the side of someone's leg or wherever it was going to go.
Weird.
I wasn't too sure about that.
Well, I tell you what, so two things. I found the interview, however, it was an interview. I'll pretend this is all going to happen. I won't edit it. At the end of this podcast, there will be the interview with Ben Judge, because it was 7 minutes. So I wouldn't have actually played it in at this point. But you can have a listen at the end of this podcast when it comes. And I'm going to seamlessly try this.
Bobby, I'm so sorry, mate. I don't know if I've missed the deadline or whatever, but obviously I put the phone down to you. Someone else's phone, blah, 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 and it's just gone out the window, and I forgot to send the message. I've just read the 500th for Sonny, so I'm hoping I might be able to gate crash the podcast or whatever you're doing for him. But listen, obviously I gave him his debut for Tunbridge away at Sutton, really went into midfield and done very well for a young boy. He was always a confident young lad, but to watch him, see him now and watch him grow over the years into a family man, it's been nice to see. Obviously your football career does go quick, and I think Sonny's still got a few more years in him yet. He's not by far means over. It's a pleasure to watch him go from strength to strength and club to club. I mean, he had a good successful stint at Maidstone as well, and to be still playing at this level is credit to him. But he's a top boy. He's been a pleasure to manage, and like I said, for me, watching him grow outside of football as well has been a pleasure to watch, and obviously, like everyone, from the polar opposite to the young flash boy that was flying around at a young age to a mentor now to some of the boys there. But I hope I've not missed it. I wish him well. He's a good lad on and off the pitch, and I wish him every success going forward.
There you go. That was Tommy Warrilow's message there. He sounds a little bit threatening, doesn't he? He's got that chill sort of, you wouldn't want to mess with him sort of sound.
He sounds like one of the crazed, doesn't he?
Like, yeah, he does. I was thinking that, like that East London.
Yeah, top man. Absolute top man. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, brilliant. So we went from so obviously earlier on in your career then, so we got promoted under Tommy, and then we've talked about it before in the podcast, we won't touch it too much, but we obviously then had the tougher seasons where we ended up getting relegated. obviously you then went to Maidstone. But the reason why I'm saying that is I'm going to link in here goalkeepers, because obviously at Tunbridge you had Lee Worgan, at Maidstone you had Lee Worgan. So you've had obviously a number of keepers, but you've had two keepers, I think, in your career, Sonny, that you've had for the majority of the time, Lee Worgan behind you and now Johnny Henley. What was it like? We'll start with Lee. What was it like playing with Lee Worgan? Have you, has he bailed you out a few times? Have you bailed him out? Or
yeah, I'd like to. Well, the idea is that he doesn't do much bailing out of us, otherwise we're not really doing our job. But yeah, like you said, those two, both great goalkeepers. But Lee, you know, the thing with goalkeepers is they're either don't say anything or they're mental, you know. And I think they both sort of go, you've got to be mental, let's be honest. Someone just smash the ball at you as hard as they can and you put your face and all sorts in front of it, you know, you can't be normal, you know. But yeah, Wargs, you know, great goalkeeper, you know, he's still playing, obviously still playing now at Eastbourne, so it was nice to get one over on him the other week. But the yeah, you know, I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me who's the better one. And they both, Wargs was like an all-round, it is like a great, good goal, you know, good shot stopper, great bloke as well. Do you know? And I think a lot of it is like, you know, when you have, and I say this all the time, when you have a really good change room, it's probably worth like 10, 15 points a season. And that's no exaggeration. So all these, you know, so all these characters and stuff are massive in the change room. But yeah, very lucky. Wargs was a great guy. Great guy. Had some very, obviously he went off to Maidstone. I think that's, you know, that suited him at the time as well, career wise and stuff like that, what he was doing with work. There's always like reasons behind things, you know. And I know yeah, obviously yeah. He got some stick as well and so did Franny at the time, but that was just the way it is. And then obviously Johnny, yeah, I mean, he's probably the most annoying bloke you've ever met, you know, but probably one of my best friends, not just in football, outside of it as well. Yeah, you know, mental, but overall, you know, you look at some of the performances, you know, sometimes he can play a game and just kick it off the pitch 15 times and he irritates the life out of you. But other times, you know, you go to Hampton, there's 3 points saved, you know, two penalties. How often do you hear that? Yeah. You know, I'd probably go as far as saying at the moment, Johnny is one of the best goalkeepers in the National South. And I'm not saying that because he's my friend. I generally think that, shot-stopping wise, communication. And again, a massive character around the change room. You know, you take these players out, you take the characters out, and all of a sudden the team can become a little bit quiet, a little bit, you know, but you need people like him. And yeah. I know it's his birthday today, and he keeps telling me he's 28, but I don't see it. But, you know, he's another one that could carry on and play. You know, you talk about 500 games, Johnny's got to be on 250 or something like that, I presume. You know, so there's one that, you know, good. A very good goalkeeper, you know, very good, and can go on. Yeah. I hope he don't, because I never really end of it. But you know,
I reckon you've answered the question there. Trevor and Lee, what do you reckon there? Because you said if so, do you reckon if at the moment if Johnny's the best keeper in the National League South, Lee Worgan is a keeper in the National League South. So there you go. You've answered your question. Johnny's better than Lee Worgan. You said it.
I tried answering it, Bobby, in a backwards way, but you just sort of seen straight through.
Straight through.
He is actually better though.
It's straight to the point, Lee.
He's actually better than him.
I'm gonna say that as an all round goalkeeper, I'm gonna say Johnny's better.
Yeah. I think he's better. Don't you think he's better?
Sorry?
Bobby?
Your opinion doesn't matter, Sonny. Sonny's got the words exactly as I said, as an all-round keeper. Johnny. Lee Worgan used to make some terrific one-on-one saves.
I didn't think he was very good, Lee Worgan. If there was some sort of long-range in-swinger, I remember, not that I want to talk about any games at Chelmsford, but you kind of thought, I remember a couple of games there was a free kick and you thought, oh, hang on, this is the position where he's going to swing it in and he's not going to be happy. And I always thought he had a weakness.
I remember seeing
it's going past him.
Where's
Sonny? You should play them out with a header.
I remember seeing some report or someone or a scout or someone said if Lee Worgan was a slightly bit taller, he'd probably have gone on to be a very professional keeper, and I know he's had a great career. He's a great guy.
Bobby, going back earlier into both of their careers, though, Johnny's played for Scotland, Lee played for Wales. You know,
exactly.
Both at pro clubs. You know, in this day and age, you don't go there if you're not very good. So, you know, we've been goalkeeper's always a hard one, isn't it, to fill.
He got a nasty injury, didn't he? Isn't that not why he stopped? He was at Hastings, but didn't he break his leg? Did he not do something and then he ended up?
I think he got an injury before he came to us, didn't he? Yeah.
Before he came to us.
Yeah.
Who was that? Sorry.
Wasn't that why Lee ended up at Hastings? Because Neville Southall was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he obviously done all right out of football for most of his career, but then obviously decided he wanted to do something different. So I think he ended up being a teacher. So I think he's sort of like moved clubs to where he's moved, you know, schools
and that.
I can't remember him having a bad injury. He might have done, Lee. He might have done, but I can't.
I think it might have been before he played for us.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember.
But he played. Time. I know he's gone on to a career. And let's have a good link here. Oh, look, maybe we've got a message from Lee Wargan.
Be anything.
Hi, Sonny. Wargs here. Huge congratulations. It's an unbelievable milestone to reach at any level. Mr. Tunbridge, the original Blue Blood. Some great memories. Getting promoted, being part of the team on your debut, and a couple of hundred games together. Massive congratulations again, my man. Well done.
There you go. That went too bad, was it? That was all right.
You're getting good at this, Bob. Do you know what? I like it. This is good.
it's good. Smooth that one, wasn't it? So we've got keepers here. So we've got Wargan. There might be a message from another keeper coming up. You never know.
can you play that message on here? Is it 18 plus? He's incapable of having a conversation without swearing.
Quite possibly, yeah. So then let's link in now. We're going back and forth a bit, but in timeline, and you talked a bit about there, but Jay Saunders. So we've had Tommy Warrilow, we've talked about Tommy Warrilow, and we'll touch on Steve McKim, but your current manager and your previous manager as well was Jay Saunders. So this is a question linked into as if it wasn't a special podcast, because this is this season and relevant to Tunbridge. We're obviously, as Tunbridge fans, we're all new to Jay Saunders this year. And I think that everyone loves him. He's positive. He's a really nice guy. What's it like to play for Jay Saunders?
It's good. You know, I've actually really, really enjoyed this season.
You sound surprised.
No, I'm not surprised. Listen, it's no secret. The last couple of seasons have been a bit of a slog. You know, it's been tough. It was tough. It was tough. You know, it was. It's nice to, and this is, you know, I'm a bit careful how I say my words, because I don't want to. You know, it's no disrespect to any, you know, to Macca or anything like that. But you know, we was fighting when you fight. It's nice to be looking up rather than looking down. And listen, we was fighting for our lives, and we wasn't, you know, what did we end up scoring? 40 odd goals, and I think that's because we got two or three, whatever it was, at St Albans at the last game. You know, with less than one goal a game or whatever it ends up being. So, you know, you knew that you was going into it, and every game was going to, you know, this season, every time we go forward, I think we're going to score. You know, it's great. We are obviously a lot more expansive. You know, I think you can see that, especially at home, and sometimes that's caught us off guard slightly. You can go to the Weymouth game. You know, it's like every time they broke and everything, they hit went in, and it was
ridiculous, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was well, it was ridiculous, but also, you know, you should never ever get beat 5-0 at home. You know, it doesn't matter who you're playing against, really.
Yeah.
But I think you can sort of see that. You know, we are more expansive. We are more open. But even for me, playing the games is better to watch, you know, even to watch and playing, because it's exciting. And obviously that rolls in with the 3G now, which has been exceptional, to be honest. You know, everyone said about 3G. We played on Ramsgate last night, not to touch on that again, and you walk onto that and you're like, oh my God, you know what, you know, it's like a Brillo pad with black stuff on it, you know, whereas you play on ours, and even someone, you know, my age, you know, or, you know, getting old or whatever, you don't feel, it doesn't feel hardly any different. You know, it's lovely. So it's been a really great season. I think it's frustrating because we was doing this in the car on the way back last night from Ramsgate. You're going, what about that game? We just took four points.
We did that last week. We said if we'd beat Welling, that's 3 points, and if we hadn't dropped points at Taunton, that's another point, and you could have beaten point at Chelmsford, and before you know it, you're guaranteed to be in the playoffs.
You can even say, like the Taunton game, the Slough, where it's 3-0 up, like, and we've thrown that away. You know, it's like you could go back through all of them, and which is football fans and players do that all the time. You know, you go, what if the Braintree at home? You know, that was a board draw, wasn't it? You know, and it's you look at them, they're third. So you look at them, and what they've just done is just ground out results, 1-0s and 1-alls, and they've just kept up picking up points. But bouncing around. Jay's, I'm not just, obviously got to be nice to him because he's still my manager. But, he was a brilliant manager at Maidstone, and he's a brilliant manager now. You know, he creates a great environment. The players, respect him, and what I think as a player, you always ask for is honesty, so if you come in and you've had a bad game, he will tell you you've had a bad game in probably a stronger way. And if you've had a good game, it's even a good game, And I think as a player, that means an awful lot when you don't get anything from a manager or a coach. And they sort of, some players will tell you managers will hardly ever talk to the players, which sounds really odd, but that does happen. And he's a brilliant man manager too, And
he's got a ruthless streak there, hasn't he? Because he made a very early marker this season. Guy scores loads of goals in pre-season friendlies and looks good, and 3 games in the season he's gone. He doesn't seem to suffer fools, let's put it like that. You either do it or you don't.
I completely agree, and that's sort of what I'm saying about the honesty thing. What you've got is you can see the efforts. You can't hide from anything these days. The club's become more professional, everyone's got a GPS vest, whether that's training or matches. If you run 12.5k against Ebbsfleet and then run 6.5k at Ramsgate, you can tell that you're not putting any effort in. Do you see what I mean? I think that was Jay's thing. You're not for me, and that's it. And I'm being honest with you. I could keep you here and not play you and sit on the bench and waste your time and waste my time, but that's not how I want to be. And yes, it is ruthless. I know about ruthless streak. I played 40 odd games at Maidstone, played all the FA Cup games. Had a bit of a dodgy period over a couple of games. You're out, someone else is in, and they went on, and they never lost again, and went on to win the league. And but to be successful, I think you have to be ruthless. It's not nice for players, but it's when managers are ruthless but won't give you an explanation.
He comes across to me as someone that you don't want to disappoint as well, because some managers, I'm obviously not from football here, I'm just talking managers in general, will go from the almost wanting to scare you into doing well, and other managers, I think you almost go from that friend point of view, you don't want to let them down, but you don't want to go too far that way and then you walk all over them. But Jay seems to me as someone, you looks like you're all together, you don't want to let him down, but the moment you do, you know about it, but it's not like you're scared of him, you just want to work hard for him. I don't know if that's a good summary.
I think, to be honest, Bobby, you sort of hit the nail on the head. He looks after the older boys, needs and rest, trusts you to give him the right information. If you go and train on a Thursday and say, look, played Saturday, played Tuesday, I'm a little bit tired, you're not just can't be bothered to train. There has to be that trust between players and management. And I think as long as you don't cross that line with a manager, I think that don't cross that line with Jay. He trusts in you to give the right information, to use your own body, look after yourself, and you go again. And it is a fine line, and credit to managers that can do it, and they find the balance right in the middle. And I think that's probably where, like Blackie and Parky come in as well, because they're sort of like the balancing act in between the manager. And it's a great little core. And let's be honest, if you were to say at the start of the season, we'd be a couple of games outside the playoffs with a chance of getting in there against some of the teams when you look underneath you and some of the budgets and bits and bobs that are underneath you. I think we probably would have bit, I'd like to think probably 85-90% of supporters and fans and board members and stuff will probably beat your hand off, and that's where we are. You know, we're giving ourselves a good chance.
I think this season's gone exactly like if I could have chosen how the season had gone, it was probably would have been how it's gone. We've got something to play for come the end of the season.
Yeah.
I'm going to play. This is on my phone, so I have to play through the microphone. So let's see. Let's see what Jay has to say.
So obviously, this is the time we managed Sonny the first time.
Was he pissed?
Can you hear it all right? Is it not very loud?
No, it sounded like he was doing it in the bath with his head underwater.
It's not the best sound. Do you know what I'll do? I'll say, yeah, that was good from Jay. That would it. Yeah, cheers, Jay.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I'm keeping in your towers. No editing.
Did he say he used to break out from the back like Bobby Moore? Is that what he said?
Did he not say the other week that he was scared to play for Tunbridge because the pitch is too big?
He did when he was, he was in the podcast. Yeah.
What a ridiculous statement.
He said he didn't want to run around.
Is the pitch too big, Sonny?
It is big. Don't get me wrong. It is big. It is very big. I don't know if it's too big, but what you do notice is when you go to nearly every other ground, you look around and go, God, this is small, isn't it? You know, and everyone's like, no, they come to us and think, this is massive. I think they've brought it in slightly as well, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a bit narrower, isn't it?
Because it's the new regulation, isn't it? So before we then move on to the next era in your career, sort of coming back in the Steve McKim era and up to modern day, I'm going to play you one more message from someone to do with the Tommy Warrilow era and then your Maidstone era. So have a listen to this.
Hello, Sons, Fran. Big congratulations, mate, on 500 up for Tunbridge. I remember when I first came into the club, and I think it was your second season in the first team, already chirpy and lively as they come. But, promotion in that first year, mate, and you followed me to Maidstone a year after me, so you took the heat off me a little bit, so that's probably the best thing you've done for me. But in all serious, mate, massive congratulations. 500 games in the Ryman Prem and Conference South at one club is a massive achievement, and rightfully an Angels legend, mate.
There you go. That was Franny Collin there. So, did you get on with Fran? Did you enjoy watching him? Did you say anything a minute ago about watching the team? Did you enjoy watching him down the other end when you was defending?
I love Franny. Franny was probably one of the most technically gifted players I've ever played with. Or obviously, I used to love watching him. That season, I used to love playing in the same team as him. And you just knew when he got a chance, he was going to score. You know, he was. I'm very surprised he didn't play any higher. Really,
yeah.
I know he went. I know he was at Gills and played some first team games at Gills. But you know what a player he was. Just he had a great technique. You know. He scored all them goals in that first year in the Conference South, and I can't remember anyone being a tap-in. You know, they're always like 25, 30 yards.
They were beautiful, weren't they? As you say, if he got the ball outside the area, you knew he was going to shoot and score. Yeah, I haven't seen a player since could do that every time.
No, as a fan, you beg for a free kick. You wanted the free kick 25 yards out, just to one side, and you think, come on, we'll have
that.
His technique, dead ball technique was
absolutely... Yeah, and he had... when he was National South... Player of the season, wasn't he?
I think he might have got both, didn't he? You know, he got top score. Yeah. Was it 30 odd goals he got? I think.
Yeah, unbelievable player. And again, a massive character. And you know, you can all the successful teams are big characters. And you know, it's still now. You know, I speak to all of these players still now. And you know, what a player! I haven't really got any words to say. And I think if you spoke to you could do this interview with 15 other players and all to say the same thing. You know, great player.
No, he was a brilliant player. It was a pleasure to watch Franny Corrin play for them.
Yeah.
So coming back, let's finish the M word now. You came back to Tunbridge, that's what matters. And Steve McKim brought you back.
Go on, Lee. There was an own goal.
We've done that before.
there was no goal. Now you can move on.
There was no goal. Lee, if I didn't score that, I used to say to Mackie, if I didn't score this own goal, I'd really be out of a job, or we'd still be in the Ryman South.
We'd have been in the division below, and when you came back, it'd have been even easier, wouldn't it? You'd have got two promotions.
Yeah, could have done.
John, sliding doors though, what would happen? We haven't got those points. Where would we be now? Probably wouldn't be here. So, there you go, Sonny. Thank you, mate. Well done. Well done. Luke, you're always thinking of Tunbridge Angels. Love it.
Blue blood. Blue blood.
But yeah, so yeah, you came back and you had a number of successful years under Steve McKeown as his captain as well. And we had some, I was talking the other day, I think because of with last season, the way everything ended and just staying up and stuff, I think actually we forget we had some amazing and enjoyable times under Steve McKeown. Getting promoted, we can talk about that playoff final as well, not the super playoff final, the playoff final, that was obviously your part in that. But yeah, we had some great times. So what was it like, what would you sort of say about your time under Macca and the promotions and stuff?
I had a great time. And I think you're right, I think the way that it sort of all sort of ended under a bit of a cloud, and that sort of last game and when it happened, how it happened, you know, that's not my business or for me to comment on, and everyone will have their own opinions on that, and I'm not going to be the forefront of that, but I think sometimes, you know, he was a good manager, he was a great manager, and we had some very successful times, and sometimes what I know of, and a relatively limited budget, you know, I know when he first come in, it was peanuts really what he was able, and that probably reflected the league position that year, the year before I come back, and obviously things started picking up for the club, and he, you know, budgets improved, and you could see the caliber, more of the higher caliber player coming back in, shall we say, and that was we had some very good times, you know, we had some very frustrating times, you know, I think we had that season we missed out, we had to go to Folkestone and get, you know, I think there was some possibly some players in there that weren't in there for the right reasons, which was really, really frustrating. And I can say that now because that was enough time ago not to worry about those players anymore. But the that was really frustrating going there. We needed a point to get into the playoffs, I think it was. And I think we lost, I can't remember, I think we lost 3-1 or 3-0 or something, whatever it was. Dan the stat man will tell you. But you know, and we, you know, playoffs, and then we missed out again. And obviously, you had this, you know, you go back to the Super Duper, whatever it is, final. I know you want to touch on that, but you know, they're massive achievements. And you know, even going back to last night in the Kent Cup game, you know, some players will go through their whole career and not win anything, at all, and that is a fact. You know,
like Spurs,
yeah, very Spurs. Yeah.
I've been told not to drop Tottenham into these podcasts, so I wasn't gonna. I've been told not to, so I don't think we should talk about Tottenham. Yeah,
no, but you know, players will. So when opportunities come up, so I've been very lucky. I've been some part of some very successful teams, and with players that are a lot better than me, But I've played with some great players alongside me and sort of helped us all through, and it's been great. But there will be players. So even, you know, so some people, it might be a Kent Cup game, but, you know, that's a final that we wanted to get to, and we could probably win. So it's an opportunity missed up. But, you know, we got to that, you know, the ridiculous saga that was the Super Duper Ooper Chubba Chup Cup final, whatever it was. I don't know what it was. I don't know what quite happened. But, you know, that's a great achievement. You know, you haven't got to just win, that night in Haringey. I remember that. I mean, we got absolutely peppered in the second half. You then got to go to the final, and you've won the final that you've not actually won anything. Yeah. You've won it, but you've not achieved anything. And then, you know, it was odd. So, and let's be honest, we had, you know, that the National League is the National League South is a very, very competitive league with some very big football clubs in, you know, and at the time, we was little old Tunbridge, and I think it's taken, you know, and some of this is huge credit to Steve as well, and Jay's taken over, but it's, you know, people look at us now, people are coming to Tunbridge and not wanting to play us now, you know, they see a great setup, they see this, they see a good team in front of them, and let's be honest, we get, a 1,000 fans, you go back 3 years ago, you could only dream of that. I've played there in front of 100 people in the Kent Cup, you know. We had a Tuesday night with 1,100 feet, you know, versus Chelmsford.
Yeah.
And that's not them, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Steve done a great job for the football club, and the way it ended how it ended, and, you know, a new era started now. But he deserves a lot of credit for where the football club is now. And then, you know, I personally will never say a bad word against him. You know, he was brilliant for us. Again, a great man manager, you know, knew when, for me personally, if I only speak for me, but, you know, knew when you needed a night off, knew when you needed to do a little bit extra, knew when you could sit, you know, didn't only care about football, but cared about your personal life and what was going on in your personal life. And it was there anything he could do to help you out? You know, all them sorts of things that sometimes fans and, you know, even board members and things like that don't always see.
Yeah.
But, you know, he will, hopefully, you know, be for the rest of the time we're both on this planet, be one of my friends. And, you know, I'll never forget what he done for me. And I like to think when playing under him, I gave as much as I could for him also.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think as fans, I know Trevor, we saw that side of him. I know you saw that side of Stephen.
I've seen both sides.
I was going to say you've seen both sides. I didn't want to say that. But
yeah. I will.
So have I.
Yeah, I'm sure. But no, right, let's have a look then. So let's see what Macca had to say about you, Sonny.
Sonny, congratulations on making 500 appearances for one club. A true leader that I had with me when I was at the club, and never a minute's problem. Lots of moaning, but we've come accustomed to that. But honestly, mate, to make 500 appearances for one club, very few people do that, and it's a testament to you and your capabilities and your dedication to what you do. Hope there's many more games to follow, and like I say, absolute pleasure to manage. And I hope you enjoy your day.
There you go. I think that was in reference to your 500th game, because that was before then. But there you go. Good to hear from Steve there. Right. Yeah, brilliant.
I'm going to end up shedding a tear by the end of this.
Oh, just you wait. See what's to come.
Oh, no.
Whilst we were doing that, I've managed to get WhatsApp on my computer, so I think we may be able to hear Jay's message towards the end.
Oh,
so
great.
We'll wrap him up. So, yeah, red card final. Did you stamp on him?
No. No. What I actually got sent out for off for was a kick out.
Oh, yeah, that was a kick out, yeah.
Yeah, so I know that I might have been accustomed to the odd bit of dark arts in my time, but what actually happened was it was actually a long deep ball into the back, and I think Johnny's come out, and I don't know if he's missed it or what he's happened, but basically the ball's gone straight off, and Ollie Cook come down on top of me, and there was no, normally you have a little cuddle and stuff on the floor and try and get each other an headlock and then muck around and run off, but nothing really sort of happened, and just when he stood up, he stamped, so the ref seen the stamp on me, which was fine, and as we sort of got up and tangled, my boot is in his boot. And this was my argument to the FA, or I tried to put across to the FA, that I haven't actually moved.
Yeah.
I haven't like taken a swing at him to try and, you know, kick him or anything like that. We're just tangled. And the ref said, look, to me, it looks like you've kicked out. And that was that. And to be honest, it was the only time, I think this is one of the things that Charlie said to me, it's the only time, normally you'd be suspended on a Saturday game, there wouldn't be the time to miss, you know, so you'd, that suspension would normally go into next season. But because we had this super duper, whatever it was, they basically made the rules up and said, no, you've got to serve your suspension now. Yeah. So, and if I'm honest, it's one of my like biggest, not that I could really help it, but one of my biggest regrets probably in my whole career, because that would have been whilst I played, you know, nearly every single game that season, and, you know, me and Arthur had a good partnership. You know, I had to watch someone who, you know, never played for Tunbridge before, or, you know, odds game for Tunbridge before, play centre-half when I wanted to be planning it. So it was a tough one. I ended up watching the game with Parky, because Parky had his first ankle operation. But it wasn't the same, you know. It was, whilst I can say that I was part of that sort of squad, it wasn't that you didn't actually win it. So, and even in the final, you know, you can't really say, I mean, the boys were really comfortable, you know, it was a comfortable final. And to be honest, they were very dominant on the day.
Yeah.
But it was quite hard to miss that. I still think about it now. I'm not trying to be cheesy about it, but, you know, I've got a shirt on my landing that all the boys signed for me at the end, the orange one we wore on the day. And, you know, I walk past that, not every day, but you look at it and you think, yeah, I sort of like, didn't really win it. You know, but you didn't. So
I know what Lee's going to say. Lee's going to say we won, so he's glad it panned out the way it did.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say that.
To be honest, they looked a lot more compact on the day. They looked a lot more secure.
Yeah. Who was the bloke that came in?
Michael Kamara.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Mr. Promotion, Michael Kamara. I think he's everywhere he ends up going, he gets promoted. But I mean, he got promoted with us and played a game. But listen, he done very well.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind, you coming into a team and not really knowing anyone. You know people, but you don't really know them, do you? So it's
he played like one game, hadn't he, before round for us? I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he played before Bob. Yeah, but
yeah,
you know, there was a little bit of jealousy for me, thinking that should be me, but it wasn't.
Of course.
And that's how it was. But
yeah.
You know, listen, it's a great achievement.
Didn't he get promoted twice that season? Once with us and once with one of the other teams?
Yeah, I think you're right. Which makes a mockery of it, really, Ted, because I think there's cut-offs now. So I think at the end of March, you can't sign people because for that reason. So say for example, you know, if you're let's say you're a Bath and you're outside the playoffs, you could go and sign all the better players from the people down the bottom and mid-table who can't do anything, and you could just load yourself up for 6 weeks of the rest of the season, couldn't you?
I think
there's something in place now, but I think it's also leagues. Depends what league you're in, like dual reds and stuff, yeah.
Because I know, I remember there's a guy over this, my neck of the woods. Who was that guy who used to play for East Thurrock? Sam Higgins, a striker.
Yeah.
You know, the big guy, but he scored tons and tons of goals. When he was coming towards the end of the career, I remember I think he was playing for Thurrock still.
And he's still playing, isn't he?
He's played
for Hornchurch.
I think
he
scored more than 30 for them this season.
Yeah,
it's an absolute goal machine.
It's mad, isn't it? But I remember a few years ago, he signed Joel Reg with, I think it was Canvey Island. And he signed Joel Reg with them before the deadline, didn't play a game, and then played the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is a bit, that's cheating the rules a bit, isn't it? But anyway. Anyway, going back to relevant because of time and everything, let's see if this works. So let's just imagine that this is all smoothly. Oh, we're talking about Jay Saunders, are we? Oh, let's see what Jay has to say about it. Yeah, let's see if this works.
So obviously this is the second time I managed Sonny. First time I signed him. Well, I first come across him playing I played against him in a cup game or something like that. I was playing for Maidstone as player manager. And there was this sort of trappy centre-half playing who was kicking and heading everything and everyone and arguing and diving about. I think he was marking me for corners and he was driving me mad. And I thought, yeah, quite like that. So ended up, end of the season, speaking to Franny and Wargs at the time, and they sort of said, yeah, great lad, this and that. So decided to take him, and obviously he came and we won the league that year, and he was good. He was really good for us. He was a lot younger. I don't know how old he was at the time, but he was really good. But I think there's no doubt about it. Deep down, he still was at Tunbridge. He still wanted to play at Tunbridge because he scored one of the best home goals I've ever seen. I think if we lost 1-0 or drew at home, but ball comes to him on the edge of the box, he's gone to clear it, and he's absolutely shanked it past Lee Worgan from the edge of the box. And then that was the game where it all kicked off, I think, at the end with Macca and Barry and the supporters and everything. But yeah, I think deep down, Sonny, he knew we were going to win the league, but I think deep down he wanted to nick a goal for Tunbridge. So, but he's been great. And then obviously when I come back here, I think he was half a bit worried when I first took over that he might not get his 500 appearances, because obviously end of season come at Maidstone, and I just said to him at the time, we're going to move forward with different options, and he understood. But we always kept in contact. He's always sort of messaged each other and that, and he's a great lad. And he, as I say, when I took over, I think he was a bit sceptical when I first picked up the phone and said to him, obviously I've got the job, and I just said I want to keep you, which he was very relieved. So I'm glad he wanted to stay and play under me, because he could have said nah, not after letting me go at Maidstone. But he's been, like I said in my notes, he's been a credit to himself and the club and his family. So it's a great achievement, and he's a top lad, and it's always good to have him around, and I'm sure he'll make many more appearances.
There you go. So Jay was worried. There you go.
didn't say that when I sat down with him. He said to me, he said to me, it's a fiver or nothing, get out. That was an
Oh, brilliant. So moving on then, as this player, I've got a couple more of these to do. So I'm going to, just whilst we're here, there's another player slash managerial role now that we want to hear from. So here's Parky for you.
Sonny, congratulations, geez, on your 500 appearances. That's a hell of an achievement, mate, especially in modern day football. You don't get that sort of loyalty anymore, so you should be pleased and proud of yourself, mate. Hell of an achievement, mate. You've come a long way in the 9 years since I played with you when you first turned up pre-season, being sick after a couple of hurdle runs, to scoring a weldy at Weymouth and fucking absolute machine in the old fitness these days. But yeah, congratulations, mate. Enjoy it, and hopefully you go on to break the record this season.
There you go, so it's Parky. So, yeah, he says you're fitter than ever. Yeah.
A machine.
I said to Johnny last night, I said, how come a centre-half play 3-4 more games this season than what a goalkeeper has? I don't know how that works out, but there you go. Yeah. You know what? I'd rather play. I'll do. But that Parky, I remember that pre-season. That was the first... that was my first session back. Macca signed me, you know, I said, we do this, we do that, and blah, 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 blah. And I turned up and I was in the same group as Jerome and Folksy, and they'd obviously just got in as well from wherever they'd been on a, you know, Friday night or wherever it'd been. And we turned up and I drove back from Inverness that night. So I drove back, and that was a classic pullover at whatever service station it was, quick Burger King at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was, and literally drop my wife and kids off at home and then straight to training. And normally you go to pre-season training, might be a little bit of ball work the first one, just ease you back into it. Nah, not with Macca. It was like 200 metre. And all it was like up and down with a hurdle in the middle. Now, that don't sound very hard, but when you're running up and you had to get in at a time, so you couldn't even cheat.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, and I got back on my last one. That was it. I was finished. And they probably looking at me thinking, Jesus Christ, Geezer won the league last year. No, throwing up all over the floor. What's going on here?
No wonder he missed the last six games.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, exactly that. No wonder he's out on the piss eating McDonald's. And it wasn't quite the case. And after that, I thought, oh, yeah, I best shape up a little bit here. But yeah, I'm blaming the Burger King, a dodgy burger, Chicken Royale.
Yeah, so I went on a stag do last weekend. It was definitely the kebab at the end. That was,
yeah, 100%, always is.
So before we finish up, I've got one more message I want to play you. No hiding who it's from. It's my favourite one. But how do you feel this season's going? Exciting? Trying to get in the playoffs?
I think we've lost, you know, taking last night aside, which I know is obviously disappointing. I'm not trying to dismiss it, but you know, we played Ebb Street last week. We hadn't lost in 14, and we'd lost 2 in 14. You know, so I was disappointed last week that we didn't win.
Yeah,
I thought I know Johnny pulled off a 1-on-1 save where we sort of gave the ball away on the. I think we gave the ball away on the end, and they broke, and he saved the 1-on-1, but. In the second half, when we broke and, you know, the raw, I said, playing alongside Swifty, and he said to me, blimey, he said, like, when we went forward, he said, the crowd, he said, I've not heard anything like that. And he said, it's brilliant, you know. And yeah. I honestly thought I know Waggy got the one at the end. I think he's still celebrating. I saw him running through Ildenborough the other day with his hand up in the air. You know, I thought he was going to win, but I'd say inconsistent. I think the season's been inconsistent, you know. You know, apart from the last, I think if you look at the form guide, we're like sort of fourth, fifth. With the last 10 games have been good, but to start off, you know, we win one, lose one. And it's a bit like what I was saying earlier. You know, you look back at the if we done this, should we have done this, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's been a very good season. And obviously we are looking, you know, no secret, you know, we want to get in the playoffs and we think we will get in the playoffs. We think we're good enough to, we're going into every game. Trying to win it. It ain't no good to us, you know, a draw, you know, even the Ebb Street game, you know, I think you see Jay's notes, we probably paid him too much respect. And when we didn't, and we got after him, we actually caused him a bit of trouble. And, you know, people, we are a very good team. Probably the best team that I've played in since I've been at Tunbridge, probably, yeah. I'd say.
If you look at that table, though, Sonny, you've got probably the top two are done and dusted, Ebb Street and Dartford. But actually, the rest of them above us are nothing special. No. And we've laid a few ghosts. We've beaten teams we've not beaten before. And this is what, I don't know, depending on where you do your goal difference, whether there's five or six teams above us, one of those is going to fuck up. Pardon, sorry, yeah. First swear word of the night. One of those is going to hit a blip, and maybe two. And all we need to do is keep doing what we're doing, and we're there. So, you know, I just think that it's... And if I was in the playoffs with that group, with the probable exception of Dartford, who will find out before the end of the season, we can beat any of them. Absolutely can beat any of them. And it'll be a scary prospect if we actually did beat them all, but we'll worry about that another day.
Might be the last podcast I do.
Don't worry, Macca will be calling.
I was going to say, Tommy Macca, who is
he? No. Yeah, Ashford's nice. Ashford's, is it Hearn? Was he Hearn Bay or something? No, he's on there.
But the other thing, I know we've got to see what happens, right? We've got Haven and stuff. But it's gone from, and I know we haven't actually got in the playoffs yet, but it's gone from saying, like, oh, can we sneak into those extra playoffs? Third, a semi-final, let's say it's going to be Dartford second, a semi-final, going skipping that is up for grabs against Dartford. You could skip, the club probably want the first bit, get the extra money in, and then, but you could probably on the last day of the season, now finish fourth, please.
Dave pulling his hair out. Again. I want that.
Yeah. Dave would take two home games with a defeat in the second one. Very, very happy.
Dave going goal, wouldn't it?
I think we'd be. That's the message, and you know, there isn't. I'm throughout, and I think this is one of Jay's things as well. You know, I hear a lot. Oh, that's very Tunbridge-y. You know, like last night's performance, you know, typical, get to a final, very Tunbridge-y. The FA Cup games, very Tunbridge-y. Like,
yeah, but they were. Tunbridge in the game, be fair. It doesn't matter who the players are.
You didn't play at Binfield, did you? Were you injured at Binfield? Did you play at Binfield? Did you?
I played, yeah.
I played.
Leave the Cup games out of this.
What was the other one?
Speciality.
What was the other Cup game? When we played the other
bit. It was at home, wasn't it? It was
at home. Did you play in that game?
I can't remember, Lee.
Yeah, he did. I'll tell you, he did. But, as I said, I think I said
same management team at Binfield as well, wasn't it? They got eight goals past us in two games, those managers.
Yeah. And it's just four. It's just four goals lower.
We weren't going to win the FA Cup, though, were we? So it doesn't matter.
No,
it's
fair enough.
You know, it's only the FA Cup after all.
Oh, that's all right.
I'm not sure they quite look at it like that, Lee. But yeah, if you want to look at it that way, we made the right choice, didn't we? But
we did.
You hear these teams that get to the third round proper, and the owner says, "We'll pay for a week in Las Vegas for you all." Perhaps that's what Sophie or someone wants to do next year.
That never happens. Everyone gets paid back all the money they put in over the last like, sort of 10 years. And we might get a new ice machine in the bar. It's not intentional, that's for sure. But, you know, what an achievement. Let's be honest. If you look back, you know, after the season, I think sometimes as well, you have to, I do it, you know, I pinch myself. And I think last year, I would have not been looking forward to playing Ebbsfleet. I wouldn't have been looking forward to going to Haven on Saturday because they're bloody good. They're a good
and
team
they do
with
a
good budgets. You know, now, you know, I'm looking forward to Saturday. I can't, we think we're going to beat them. Yeah. You know, and they'll be thinking, we don't want to play Tunbridge because they're a good team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a big difference. And it's a massive difference at where the club is now. Which is, you know, credit to everyone there.
So I'm going to link this in then. So with the team that we've got at the moment, and it is very nice watching the football, it's nice football. So one thing I've got to ask, because this is like my new Scott Kinch, isn't it? In your team, when you did your 500 game, you did a programme, and you had your players that you played with. And I was pleasantly surprised to see in your starting 11, a player that at the time you'd only played a couple of months with, Lewis Gard, you chucked in there.
Yeah, great player. Yeah. Great player. Yeah, great. I love Gardy. I love Guardy. He, you know, I think
I'm not the only one. Then happy days. Here we go.
Yeah, great player. I think you know. I think some. I don't know if it was the gaffer recently, but said you know if you actually look at the National League assists, he's right up there. You know, and he's a player that you, when you take out the team, you miss an awful lot. And you know, I'm happy for him because he's come in. He had some very bad injuries. Obviously, you probably know about them, you know, at Southend.
Yeah,
and he's come in and he's just, he's one of those players that just gives you a sense of something's going to happen here.
Yeah.
He reminds, you know, he's a brilliant number 10. He reminds, you know, we was lucky enough to have Santos, remember, for that period of time, who will go on to have a fantastic career, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And Guardy had some injuries and bits and bobs and, you know, couldn't quite keep it, get himself fit. And he's taken a little bit in time. But he's a great player. Technically, you know, he drops a shoulder in a game and I fall for it, you know. So, you know, and I'm on his team.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, one of those players, when you train with him and he's on the other team, he's one of those players you just want to run up to and kick as hard as you can because you can't get anywhere near him. You can't, yeah, he's a great player. And I couldn't leave him out because he's that good. He's that good. And, you know, hopefully he can keep staying injury free and he'd be someone that, you know, I'm sure Jay will be looking at to keep for next season, definitely. And I'm sure, like, you know, you lot enjoy watching him because, you know, unless I'm seeing something completely different and you all say he's rubbish, which in that case we'll forget about. But he's a...
Well,
you know, you love him, obviously, Bobby, because he lives, you know, at Southend, so why not?
Yeah, yeah. No, do you know what? The reason why I do it, a few people, you know, recently he might have not scored for a while, but I think the thing about that I love about him is he's one of those players that in midfield, even if he hasn't gone and got an assist or gone and scored, I agree with you fully, you take him out of the team and you miss him because he'll do that drop of the shoulder, he'll do that turn, he'll do all of the stuff in the game. Waggy controlled the game against Ebbsfleet from the middle, but then, you know, when Guardy's there, he'll do that bit in front and it's that midfield player. Tom Phipp used to do this actually a little bit as well, where they do that turn and suddenly they create space that no one else would have created. And I think when you get a midfielder, Lee Browning did it at a different level, I think. But God, my opinion is, he's up there. So I was very pleased. I was surprised. I thought, I wonder if God is going to get in there. I was surprised to see you put him in there with all of the midfielders you played with at Tunbridge over the years. So,
great player. Yeah, well, I couldn't put Lee Brown in there because every time he played, he had to wear a crash helmet, didn't he?
He was really good at smashing his head into things.
Wasn't
he?
Three times it was, wasn't it, I think?
Ridiculous.
So before I play the final voice note, Trevor or Lee, is there anything you want to add? Anything you want to ask, Sonny? Anything you want to come in on?
Pretty nice.
I mean, there's lots of stuff, really, but I'm not...
Lee, come on, it's taken you 10 years. Come on, you can hit me with it.
No, it was no abuse. Do you remember years ago? Was it someone said that when I played in the supporters game, were you there and did you throw eggs at me?
No.
Someone said Sonny Miles threw an egg at you, and I said, "Did he?"
Missed. No. I've done lots of things in my time, Lee, but I can't remember going to the co-op buying some eggs to throw at you.
missed opportunity, eh?
I reckon it was Tommy Warlow.
If I knew you was playing, I would have played and two-footed you. I would have thrown eggs at you.
Yeah.
Taking you out.
Probably wouldn't be able to catch you, to be honest. No, definitely not me, Lee. I might have got the blame for it, but it definitely wasn't me.
Trevor,
anything you want to add at all?
I've just got this awful image imprinted on my brain from the Jay Saunders episode of you and Johnny Henley wandering around in the showers in your flip-flops and scaring the crap out of all the new players that come in.
Yeah,
and, that does happen. Would you like to comment, really? I mean,
yeah, obviously me and Johnny are probably not what you would call a Greek god. So, you know, when you... I think, do you know what? Sometimes it's good for these lads to, you know, come. You get like, you know, we got Woody on loan from Southend at the moment. Great lad, you know, he came in the car with us last night, and I think he must be sitting here going, "What the fuck are these on about?" You know, it's me, Tommy Wood, Johnny Henley, and the other Woody. in the car with each other. And I said to him, "You all right? You had a good time?" Yeah. And I just thought he couldn't wait to get out of that car. But the probably turns up, he's probably used to being at Southend, seeing it all done professionally and everyone not going to the bar and having a Guinness and black and drinking protein shakes. And he sees me and Johnny pouring, you know, Aldi shower gel all over your body. No, what's going on here? This ain't right. But yeah, no, there's nothing. I like to put on record, I mean, there's nothing else about me and Johnny walking around naked in the changing room. There's nothing
else. I mean, you're a brave man. According to the song, he's going to, you know.
Yeah, that ain't true. I don't know why. Like, it's the best song in the world, really, isn't it? Just be honest. Like, you know, he pretends. He said to me the other day about it. He said, like Charlotte was it? Like, his Mrs. Charlotte. Well, what do they sing about you? And he's like, oh, nothing, nothing. And he like, I don't know where he's got it from, but. Yeah, crazy guy. Yeah, crazy guy. I think they've seen something that I haven't in the last 6 years or whatever it is. But there you go. It must be really cold all the time.
Cold showers. Well, to be fair, talking of songs, I think, let's face it, it feels like you've been around forever, but you won't be around forever at Tunbridge. And I think whenever it be that you're no longer a Tunbridge player, I think I will miss our first corner of the game, naturally just default into... I mean, he ain't scored many, to be fair, but default into the Sonny Miles song.
I blame the... Do you know what? I end up, 9 times out of 10, being the decoy. You know what I mean? Because normally the biggest lump comes a march in. You think, right, if I take him out, you know... You'll get like a Parky or a Swifty go, get rid of him. And you're like, yeah, all right, no problem. But we've tried to change some things up this year, but it's bloody... I know this is one of Lee's pet hates, but it's bloody hard to score from a corner.
Not for, you know, some people, though. Some people are really good at it, aren't they?
Yeah, I know, Lee. And they normally get paid twice as much money. And, like, you know what I mean? And, like, they've got, like, Beckham wrapping the ball into the shelf box. You know what I mean? But, like, you know... Yeah, we've got Gardy. He's very good, but he ain't David Beckham. But, you know, someone said this to me the other day about corners, and said it last year. We never scored from corners. Last year, we couldn't get a corner in over the smallest left-back in the world. Or right.
Who was taking the corners last year?
I'm not naming names, Lee. I know what you're trying to do here. Yeah.
No, who was it? Is it someone who's not there now?
That bloke who kept getting picked and we couldn't understand why he was...
I've just
mimed a clue. Let's leave it. I've mimed a clue as to who it might be. It's all good.
I like it.
I don't know, but Lee's been drinking a pint of it while we've been
doing it. let's move on. We're done. We all watched it. We all know.
Yeah, so, but anyway, yeah, corners are really hard, Lee. And if everyone could do it, they would, wouldn't they? So there you go. Let's move on.
And then one thing, talking of corners, Sonny, you don't, is it a COVID, since COVID? I noticed you don't no longer do the water bottle trick.
I can't be bothered. There's another 5 steps a game, isn't it? I can't do that. I don't do it because I probably thought it was quite funny, but then I thought it's probably a bit childish as well. And I'm 32 now. And
he's growing up.
I'm like, yeah, what am I doing? But yeah, I don't do that anymore. Because keepers normally get the ump and they try and stand on you and stuff now. That's what I mean. They're mental. They wouldn't think of any difference about elbowing. Keepers are the only people in the world that come out and punch you in the face.
Yeah.
If
they can get away with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, why would you? Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say, what happened at Weymouth then? I mean, what happened at Weymouth? That ball sat up and you kind of hit it really well, right?
Does that
happen in training or something?
I was just about to say, happens every week in training. Every week. You know, and I've got this thing with me and Swifty. I said, we only score outside the box. I don't know if his one was quite outside the box at Ebbsfleet, but... Do you know what it was, Lee? Honestly, I would never hit it in a million years, but the ball, I could hear Jay screaming at me to get in the box, and I wasn't switched on for the free kick. So by the time the free kick come in, I was thinking, oh, I can't like make a half-hearted run for it. So I'm going to like pretend I've dropped out to the edge to try and read the situation. And it was actually a great header back from Parky.
Yeah.
And it was actually a very bad first touch, which set it up. So it sort of like hit my knee and bounced up.
You just sat there.
And Lofty was behind me when he just went, hit it. And I thought, oh, I will. And it's one of those, you know, when it sits up like that, you almost know you're going to score before you hit it. You do. When it sits up like that, you think you haven't really got to put much into it, just hit it. And yeah, it went in, obviously. And obviously, by my celebration, you could tell that I don't score many goals and I didn't really know what to do. But yeah, it was, I'll cherish that moment forever.
Well, at least you meant that one, because I don't know if the Dorking one was that
the over kick. The over kick, the Dorking.
I didn't mean it, Bobby.
You just put it back into an area.
I put it into, that is a great that Lee, you've been around non-league a long time.
Great area.
That's put it into an area.
It wasn't, it definitely wasn't meant to go in. it was actually a foul. Alex Reid was on the goal line. He actually held down the defender. It would never have gone in otherwise. But yeah, I was just, if I'm being honest, I was trying to hook it back into the area. And it wasn't, let's be honest, it wasn't really a bicycle kick. It was like an old man trying to get his leg up over and hook it back in. I don't think I ever left the ground. You know,
it was like,
brilliant. Yeah. I'll take it. But yeah, I can't remember many others.
So, I mean, I was going to say, it's got to be your favourite goal. It's got to surely be that one this season, that Weymouth Finn, that you scored.
Probably the best one. My actual favourite one was I scored at home. I think it was Boxing Day to Dover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I scored then. And I also, one of my most favourite goals was at home to Canvey. The sort of ball come over and I almost scored. It was at the marquee end. I don't know the marquee was there, but at the marquee end, it was sort of like, again, but I think it was a not head back from parking. I sort of just hit it again on the volley and it was sort of like a really tight angle. I think that was my first year. Yeah, back from Maidstone. I scored them. But yeah, it's the year we actually got promoted, I scored a fair few goals and Alex Reid took two of them off me, I think. So, I would have got, I think I was nearly double figures that year.
Nearly had a toe. So right, here we go. So this is so we talked about goalkeepers earlier. So obviously Lee Morgan, and then now you're playing in front of Johnny Henley. So I think it's only fair. Let's have a listen and see what Johnny has to say about you.
Morning, boys.
Hello, mate. I've been informed you've reached yet another milestone, no pun intended there. Not 100% sure what this one is for, but there's been so many across the years. So I think it's for the most headers won by a male right-footed Tunbridge Angels centre-half in the first 19 minutes of a game across two different leagues or something along those lines. But in all seriousness, congratulations, mate. And what an achievement. I've been lucky enough to not only call you a teammate, but you've been a great, great friend to me over the years. So, it's been a pleasure to have bailed you out on so many different occasions across the years. Hopefully there's a few more years left in the tank. And I mean, it's a record that I don't think will ever be beaten. So, yeah, enjoy it, mate. And I'm sure the club will treat you with a nice bottle of Prosecco and a packet of smoky bacon crisps or something like that. But enjoy, mate. All the best, Johnny.
There you go. That was Johnny.
Yeah, that's his. I'll get a bit of stick because obviously I made the 500 games, and then like Johnny's obviously been there for a few more. And he's like, every time you play a game, you get like another 20 appearances. He said, "How's that work?" And I forget a fair bit of stick, but yeah,
I also liked his introduction there from the morning boys. That was good.
Yeah, he puts that on the group. He puts that on our little players group. If you don't know what that is, Trev and his and Lee, it's like a little meme, and it's like a. It makes me laugh every time I watch it. But it's just like a bloke like videoing himself like trying to get the boys up for a game.
He's a Cole U fan, I think, isn't he? Is it either Colchester or it's Colchester away he's talking about, isn't it? But it's brilliant, yeah.
Every Saturday someone puts it on the group or Tuesday night or whatever it is, and it's just everyone just rolls everyone up. So yeah, it's great. He does that. He will say that 100 times in about 5 minutes, just walking around in a pair of Calvin Klein, shouting at himself.
Yeah, morning, boys. I reckon, I think Ethan could probably do one for Tunbridge. I think the Tunbridge fan, Ethan, I could see.
Is he? I see something the other day that he's going into Wetherspoons and things like that. And like,
no, he's still
he's at the Roma Ultras, isn't he? I see him up on the stands and banging things up. And fair play to him, though. He's there every week, isn't he? Causing havoc.
Brilliant. No, he's doing brilliant, creating atmosphere. So no, really good. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you, Sonny. Yes, thank you for eventually agreeing to find time today.
Yeah, sorry it took me a while. I'm very grateful for your time. I am. So thanks for having me.
Thank you for genuinely. Thank you for coming on. You had a number of people that obviously were happy to do messages. A number have said, "Yeah, I'll do that," and they never got back to me. So that's
that's what I would have done, to be honest.
True. So good luck for the rest of the season. Good luck on Saturday. As you said earlier, looking forward to having away, which is weird, right? But actually are. So let's hope we're going to have an end of season party where we're all promoted and you're finding yourself as a National League player next year. So
you have to plan it to get there, didn't you? I'll play in one. I better be Barrow away first game. You know, whatever it is.
Really useful players in that division, aren't there?
That ain't a place for me. That's not a place for me. We all sat here. We all know that. Let's just be honest with each other. You won't be seeing me playing in the National League.